Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 14, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 24 is about the crown of the wise. Let's read the passage. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 24. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. So the crown of the wise is their riches, or riches are the crown of the wise. And you know, in the Old Testament, God demonstrated his blessings on the wise by making them rich. That's how people knew that they were privileged by God. Take, for instance, Genesis chapter 24. We know that Abraham was blessed of the Lord. He was given a land grant, the promise of a seed in his old age. And in Genesis chapter 24, verse 35, the Bible says, "And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly." This is the servant of Abraham testifying before Laban and his household for the sake of finding a wife for Isaac. And the servant says about Abraham, "The Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses." Who did that? Who did that for him? "The Lord hath blessed my master." Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham is the father of the faith. The measure of his Old Testament salvation was his wealth, was his riches, and it crowned him, see, with favor in God's eyes. Look in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12 at Isaac. Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. Can you imagine receiving 100-fold in 1 year? Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 and 3. This is Joseph. He's a slave, sold into the household of Potiphar. The Bible says in Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3, "The Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." We'll look at one more case. We'll look at the case of Job, because we know that poor old Job suffered quite a bit. But when the suffering was over, Job 42, verse 10, "The Lord," not anybody else, "The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You see, the Lord crowned them. The crown of the wise is their riches. And these were wise men: Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Job. And there are others in the Old Testament, but you get the picture. And the reason we start out there is that Proverbs is in the Old Testament. And when a man was wise, God crowned him with riches. But you know something? In the New Testament, things are quite different. In the New Testament, the blessings of God on your life are not measured in the abundance of the things that you possess. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says very plainly, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Now, many today that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ are wealthy. But you have to be careful, because people will look at that wealth and they'll say to themselves, "God has really blessed us." I've heard them say it before. And thank God for it, but look what the Bible says. "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So wealth is not the measure of your spirituality in the New Testament, because the rich folks in Revelation chapter 3 verse 17 that were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, which are a picture of the Laodicean age in which we live, are in God's eyes wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and can't see it. Because we're weak in faith, weak in righteousness, and weak in the ability to see the eternal. That's the way it is. You see, because in the New Testament, God's richest servants were poor. Take a look at Jesus. Died literally penniless. He didn't even have his own clothes. Paul, content in whatsoever state I am, he said, whether I abound or whether I am abased. And Paul didn't have anything. I mean, he was glad just to receive a cloak and some parchments at the end of his life when he sent for Timothy to bring him some stuff. Then when he was in prison, he said, only Luke is with me. That's a physician. And he said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. That's all he wanted. Books, parchments, and a cloak. That's not a rich man. He rented out a house. The widow with two mites was credited with giving the largest gift the day that Jesus Christ witnessed the giving in the temple. So, things are different in the New Testament. But the lack of wealth here in the New Testament translates into an abundance of wealth up there in heaven if you're not a foolish Christian. And if you're not a foolish Christian, you'll see this. You see, the crown of the wise is their riches, certainly temporal, earthly riches for the Old Testament saints. But in the New Testament, the crown of the wise is something that you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ later. And that shows that you have eternal riches and not the riches of the world down here. You've got to be able to see this. And there are a lot of Christians who can't. Now, you may be wealthy today, and you may be saved, and thank God for it. But you have a great opportunity to use your wealth for God's glory. And if you will see beyond the next 10 years and the growth in your stock portfolio, you will see that there are crowns available to God's people. And they're not crowns of their riches that they wear here. They're crowns that they receive, that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ hereafter. Paul warned us in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. A wise man will work for the Lord Jesus Christ now to be rewarded with crowns later, and they will signify his wisdom throughout the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth at a minimum, and probably for all eternity. Now, what are the crowns? What are the crowns of the wise that will be our riches in time to come? There are five of them, and they are all awarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, listen very carefully while we go through this, because it takes a wise man to recognize that his wealth is laid up for him on the other side. The Lord Jesus Christ told you very plainly, in Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you're a wise man, which I hope that you are, or a wise woman, which I hope that you are, you will look beyond the wealth that can be accumulated now to the wealth that can be gained and kept for eternity hereafter. But it takes a wise man or a wise woman to see that. You say, well, I don't know if I'm wise or not. Well, listen carefully to the message. Find out what crowns are available that you get to wear in eternity, the crown of the wise, and then pursue those with all that you have remaining until you make it to the other side. Number one is the crown of righteousness, found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. The crown of righteousness. The Bible says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, what is that for? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So the crown of righteousness is for all them that love his appearing. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and I believe he's coming soon. Regularly we get emails and telephone calls from radio listeners encouraging us, asking us questions, telling us to pray for certain folks, whatever the case may be, asking us to witness to a friend, whatever the case may be, and we appreciate the phone calls. And invariably people say, you know, because the time is short, there's no doubt we're getting close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had two people call me today, 178, 190. Both of them are looking for the Lord's return in their lifetime. That ought to encourage you. You know something? I believe he's coming back soon. I don't know when. I hope he comes back real soon. I hope he comes back before we finish this radio broadcast. I really do. But you know something? This Bible says that you have the opportunity to be rewarded in heaven with a crown that would be given to wise people who love the Lord's appearing, really more than anything else. The crown of righteousness. Now, what is it that you love? What is it that you want to see? You get excited. You say, well, I want to see a ball game tonight. I'd like to see my favorite team win. Oh, I sure wish that I could go to such and such a college football game, or I wish I could go to the World Series, or I wish I could go to the NASCAR race, or I wish that I could go to the beauty pageant, or I wish that I could go to the movies, or something like that, that just really, really compels you to have a long desire to see whatever it is you want to see. And if we prioritize the things we wanted to see and passed out a list to all of the Christians in the United States of America and asked them, what five things would you like to see in your lifetime? Well, some might say the Golden Gate Bridge. Some might say the Grand Canyon. Some may say the Cascades. I'd really like to see Niagara Falls, and make their little list. I wonder, of Christians in the United States of America, if you simply had an open-ended question like that and said, of the things that you would like to see in the earth, what five things would you like to see more than anything else? A newborn baby, your own child, whatever it might be. And you know something? I wonder how many of the Christians would write and say, I want to see Jesus, and put that on the top of the list. I just wonder how many of those that might be. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Because you see, that is the crown of righteousness that you will get to wear when you are in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll get to wear it forever. I want to see Jesus more than anything else. Listen, that may not have been what you had said had we passed out a questionnaire today. You might have named some of the things that I mentioned or some things that I haven't seen. Maybe you'd like to go to Europe and see some of the castles or some of the cathedrals. Or maybe you'd like to go to the museum and see some of the paintings. I'm not sure what it is that you'd like to see. But let me say this to you. If it was anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, would you do something for yourself today? Would you do a favor to yourself today and prepare to wear the crown of the wise, which is your riches, by loving the Lord's appearing more than anything else on this earth? Would you do that? Because I tell you what, it would be very pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's willing to give you a crown for it. And it'd be very pleasing to you in eternity to be able to wear that crown and have everybody know that you were wise enough to put aside all of the cares of this world and all of the lusts of this world and all of the riches of this world for the prize of being able to behold the face of the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else in this world. There's the crown of righteousness. But that's not all. There are other crowns that are available for those that are wise that just wouldn't chase their riches down here but would look for the riches in eternity. The other one is the crown of rejoicing, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and he says this, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. You know what the crown of rejoicing is? The crown of rejoicing is a crown that is given to those that win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a soul winner's crown. And it's given for those whose joy is in seeing souls saved. It becomes the preeminent concern of Christians to be able to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, to win them. You know, he that winneth souls is wise, and we're talking about the crown of the wise. Well, it seems to fit very well then that a man who would be about trying to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ would be crowned for bearing witness to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something, we get so concerned about things in life that we oftentimes neglect this responsibility of telling other souls about the Lord Jesus Christ. We get so concerned about our families, about our responsibilities, about our jobs, about the list of things that we have to accomplish today. Oh, you got to go to the store. You got to go to the hardware store. Got to go to the grocery store. Got to go to the clothing store. Got to go to the filling station. Got to go get new tires on the car. Got to go get the oil changed. Got to get the car washed. All of these places that you have to go, all of these responsibilities, and it's just bounce here, bounce there. And by the time you get home at night, you're too tired to cook. Got to go to the restaurant. Go, go, go. And then drop in bed just exhausted from the day to go about and repeat the very same thing the next day. You know what? You missed a great opportunity all those places you went the day before. You know what opportunity you missed? You missed an opportunity to tell every soul in which you came in contact something about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, at a minimum, you could have passed them a tract. At a minimum. Beyond that, you could have said something regarding the Lord Jesus Christ to try to stir up their soul, or set aside some time during the day or the week to talk to somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why would I do that? Because what you accumulate in the way of riches for eternity in telling souls about the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than if you could accumulate by your wisdom in the earth all of the riches that have ever been accumulated by any man who was wealthy in this earth, including Bill Gates and Solomon himself. If you could gain all of that, you would not be as wealthy as you would be if you would just lead one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the men who have gained the riches of this world will not wear a crown in eternity for doing so. Nonetheless, they may have been wise according to the world to gain the riches they gained. They'll never wear a crown in eternity for it. But if you lead a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be crowned with a crown of rejoicing that you get to wear for eternity. And that means that you are wiser than even those that accumulated that wealth. Don't neglect that responsibility. You say, you know, I've never really tried to lead a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's time you start. You say, but you don't understand. I'm already up in my 60s. So, I know a fellow that's 95 that goes every Saturday still leading souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a lady that was in her young 80s who led her first soul to Jesus Christ when she was in her young 80s. I know a fellow that covenanted with the Lord that he wanted to be a good soul winner. He got on his knees to pray and did not become a soul winner until he was 50 years old. It's never too late to get started. To get the crown of rejoicing, the crown of the wise is their riches. You'll get to keep that forever. Not only that, there's the crown of life in James chapter 1, verse 12. I mean, if you want riches that are the crown of the wise, get a crown that you get to take with you all the way through eternity. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The crown of life. For what? For fighting temptation and winning. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Well, the crown of life is also rewarded in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, to the martyrs of the tribulation. Wow. The martyrs of the tribulation. Wow. You mean to tell me that the crown for fighting off temptation is the same as a martyr's crown for enduring the temptations the devil puts on people during the tribulation? Yes, it is. Then what does that tell you? That tells you the fight that we must put up against sin has to be equal with the fight that a martyr would put up to keep from recanting against Jesus Christ and keep from taking the mark of the beast just to get something to eat when the devil and his crowd are starving him to death. Apparently, death by starvation would probably be the cruelest death of all. I had a fellow email me just the other day, and he really wants to serve the Lord, but he's struggling because he likes to drink beer. And he really wants to serve the Lord. And for a while, he thought he wasn't saved because he still liked to drink beer. But he didn't have to question his salvation. After just listening to his testimony, he's a saved man. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the deal is he likes to drink beer. And he recognizes that in doing that, he won't be able to serve the Lord in the capacity that he wants to serve him. Because he's also a servant to that sin of drinking beer. You know what he's got to do? He's got to fight. He's got to fight against that temptation, and he's got to win. And you know something? If he fights off that temptation and wins, and serves the Lord Jesus Christ, and fights off other temptations and wins by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the escape that only God can provide, you know what he's going to get? He's going to get a crown of life. He's a soldier. Soldiers get highly decorated when they're wounded in combat. They get the Purple Heart. That's a cherished medal. Sometimes they get high honors and rank from Congress, from the President of the United States, for valor and for honor and for service. But what could be greater than being awarded by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a crown of life for having fought and won against temptation? Nothing could be higher. And you get to keep that for eternity. The medals that are won down here in combat, they stay down here. The crown that is won in fighting temptation, the crown of life, you get to keep for eternity. The crown of the wise is their riches. That's a rich thing that you'd like to have, that you'd like to keep for eternity, the crown of life. But that's not all. There's the crown of glory in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, many have said this is the pastor's crown, and so it may very well be. But it may go beyond that because it says, feed the flock of God, and then it says in verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What's it for? For feeding the flock of God. Now I realize that's the job of an elder. That's the job of a pastor. But you know there are Sunday school teachers that feed the flock. And I'll tell you honestly, there are some Sunday school teachers that do a better job of feeding the kids than the pastor does of feeding the adults. And so I just wonder if, in fact, in eternity, the teachers and the parents who have fed the flock are not going to be rewarded with the crown of glory for being faithful to the words of God in teaching the flock that was entrusted to them. I wonder. Feed sheep. Disciple them after you win them. If you go out after trying to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't leave them to the wolves. Go back and show them how to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a crown of glory in it. Wouldn't it be something? We've looked at four, we'll look at one more. Wouldn't it be something to be walking through eternity with a crown of righteousness because the supreme love of your life was to see Jesus Christ, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus? The crown of rejoicing because you were thoughtful enough about what God had given you to tell others so that others might be saved. The crown of life because when confronted with the temptations that dragged down so many Christians from service of the Lord Jesus Christ, you fought and won by God's grace. And the crown of glory because those folks that were entrusted to you, you fed honorably with the words of God. Wow. The crown of the wise is their riches. I can't think of riches in this earth that are worth more than those riches right there. And then there's another crown, the incorruptible crown, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, for temperance, for keeping the body under. 1 Corinthians 9, 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The corruptible crown that's granted to an athlete who subjects himself to rigorous training and a rigorous diet so that he can win. And he gets a crown, but it's corruptible no matter what they give him. If it's a gold medal from the Olympics, it'll stay here. It is corruptible. God said, I'll give you an incorruptible crown if you'll keep your body under. And you know something? There are a lot of Christians today that have let their bodies completely go. That body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you need to keep that body fit for the Holy Spirit who resides there so that he can get the most out of you for the glory of God Almighty. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of Christians these days that have completely let their bodies go. Completely. And that's the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's the place in which he resides. He wants that in tip-top shape for you to be able to accomplish everything within that body that you possibly can for God's glory. I've heard a preacher say, as a matter of fact, it was the preacher that trained me in the ministry, he said that D.L. Moody cut his life short by 10 years by carrying too much weight. And he died earlier than he should have died. And D.L. Moody was a tremendous witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, led many, many hundreds of thousands of souls to Jesus Christ, but could not complete the race because he allowed his body to go. God said, I'll give you an incorruptible crown if you'll keep it under, if you'll keep it temperate, if you'll keep it available to me to use as I want, tip-top shape. You have to. Now, those riches, the incorruptible crown, the crown of glory, the crown of life, the crown of rejoicing, and the crown of righteousness, are crowns that will be worn by wise Christians who heed the counsel of God Almighty in the New Testament and prepare themselves well for the judgment seat of Christ. You see, the Bible says the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of the fools is folly. And there are a lot of Christians today that are involved in a lot of foolishness today. And it will be their folly when they come before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and all these rewards are available, and the crowns are sitting there on the shelf, ready to be placed on the heads, but because they occupied their time in foolishness, there's nothing there for them. That would be a sad, sad case. If these are the crowns of the wise, win them. Take this charge today and follow, by God's grace, the words that are given to you from the New Testament to love the Lord's appearing more than anything else, to win souls, to fight temptation and win, to feed sheep, and to keep that body fit for the use of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. And you may have some riches in eternity that far exceed any amount of wealth that could be accumulated on this side of glory. We pray you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.